Morning, all. Before I call the first case, I just want to, on behalf of the court and particularly Judge Williams and myself, welcome Judge Capalla to our court, sitting by designation. He is a district judge from the Northern District of Illinois, Western Division, and a distinguished former justice of the Illinois Appellate Court. So he's a veteran to appellate proceedings as well as trials. So we're pleased to have him sit with us this morning. The first case for argument this morning is Remap versus Comfort Keyboard Company. So, Ms. Lynch-German.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Laudia Lynch-German with Hodan, Doster & Ganser from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I represent the appellant defendant Comfort Keyboard Company. Comfort Keyboard requests this court to overturn, reverse, and remand the findings of the district magistrate judge for the following three reasons. First, we believe that the court erred in its award of damages because the amounts awarded were not proved with requisite specificity. Secondly, we believe that no contracts were formed between the parties because one essential condition was not met, and that was the prepayment of Comfort Keyboard for the items Remap believed were ordered. And in the alternative, if oral contracts resulted, they do not fall within a statute of frauds exception as recognized under Wisconsin law. Turning first to the damages awards, Your Honors, the law requires that damages be proved with requisite specificity. In this case, that was not done on the part of Remap. The testimony offered by the sole witness is a study in vacillation. His damages, the damage estimates that he provided to the magistrate judge, varied anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 to $87,000. There were no receipts, invoices for purchase, canceled checks, wire transfers, anything of that nature that was submitted to the magistrate judge to prove up the damages amount. Remap is a sophisticated merchant, and it would have this court, as it did the court below, believe that it keeps detailed records except when it needs to prove its damages. Remap tendered, as I said, not one receipt, canceled check, wire transfer, or invoice related to the purchase of the parts in China. The only basis were the documents that Remap tendered to Comfort Keyboard and those numbers that are reflected on invoices, which are marked as exhibits 1013 and 1014 in the Appellee's Supplemental Index. That's the only basis for the numbers as the magistrate judge awarded them. Second of all, Your Honors, we believe that contracts were not formed because one key element of the past dealings of the parties and a term that was on the invoices that were forwarded was never met. Comfort Keyboard failed to pay the 50% down payment that it has always been requested to pay in advance.
But Comfort Keyboard communicated with Remap about increasing the order, about purchasing processors for under $6, and about modifying the circuit board. Doesn't that show that Comfort agreed to purchase the product?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because I think that what we're seeing here is the fact that there were a number of discussions held via email and possibly over the phone about the circuits, the numbers, all of that sort of thing. But without that 50% down payment, there was no commitment to the contract. There may have been discussions about price differentials, mere negotiations about Gerber files being placed on circuit boards and that sort of thing. But there was no 50% prepayment, which had consistently, at a minimum, been required of Remap before. So I think the email communications can best be characterized as ongoing conversations waiting for a time when the contract was consummated with the 50% down payment.
In your brief, you cite Dresser Industries, Inc. Versus Gradall, G-R-A-D-A-L-L. I see language in that case that says if the parties are merchants and they act as if there's a contract, there's a contract.
Yes, I believe that's that would be the appropriate understanding of that case. However, I think when you look at the words, parties, and actions of both REMAP and Comfort Keyboard, without that 50% down payment, there may have been discussions about, as I said in response to Judge Williams' question, that there were discussions about things that could lead to a contract, but no contract could have been consummated under the understanding of the parties, as well as the invoice terms themselves, without that 50% prepayment. In any contract case, there must be offer, acceptance, and consideration. One, it is Comfort Keyboard's position that REMAP made an offer to provide the service of manufacturing these boards with a condition, which that condition being the 50% payment was never met. Therefore, the offer either lapsed, could be considered lapsed, or rejected because there was no full payment of the 50% down.
Yeah, but then you run into the findings by the trial court that, you know, acknowledges that this was unusual, not doing the prepayment, but Comfort Keyboard rushed the order and REMAP trusted Comfort enough to forego the prepayment. I mean, that's essentially what he found.
That is what he found.
And then there were some problems with Afifi because the court found Comfort, the president, not very reliable.
Understanding that the district magistrate judge did find Mr. Afifi to be an incredulous witness, I think we then have to turn to the objective standard, which controls in this situation. The objective observer would see that there were communications between two sophisticated merchants, that these merchants were talking about technical tweaks as well as perhaps increasing a run of product, that there were a number of different transactions that were being discussed between these sophisticated merchants. However, I think an objective analysis of this would show that without that 50% prepayment, especially with the fact that Comfort Keyboard had carried balances before with REMAP, that without that 50% down payment, there was no commitment, and that REMAP assumed a risk by extending, if you will, that credit, which I'm not sure would be justified under the actions, words of the parties, especially minus that 50% down payment. REMAP did price components and requested the 50% down payment, and understand, Your Honors, that that was consistently a requirement. There had never been any type of extension of credit by REMAP to Comfort Keyboard. There had always been at least a minimum 50% down payment. In at least two transactions that we can find in the record, there was a request for 100% prepayment. So from an objective analysis of all of this, without that 50% down payment, there was no contract, no true binding requirements here, without the further anticipated step by Mr. Afifi to tender a check to REMAP for those parts.
Is there any evidence that in the record that goods of any quantity were shipped prior to receipt of the entire 50% or the initial 50%?
The record indicates that all of both the 2,000 USBs and the 2,000 hubs apparently still remain on a dock in China. There was nothing that was shipped over. In fact, during the...
I meant in the prior 7 years, in the history of the dealings between the parties, I understand the 50% requirement and sometimes 100%. But the goods in the course of their relationship were they ever shipped prior to the receipt of those monies?
My understanding of the record, Your Honor, is the answer is no. That there had always been, there might have been examples or exemplars of foot pedals and other types of things, but not a shipment of a substantial amount of goods prior to that 50%. Under the UCC in the state of Wisconsin, contracts for sales may be made in any manner that is sufficient to show the agreement, including conduct by both parties. Again, under the UCC, as we have it in the state of Wisconsin, it is clear that we have to look at the totality of the actions of the parties to determine if a contract had, in fact, been established. I hate to keep resonating the same tone, but again, we have a lack of a crucial component, which I think under our UCC would say that there had been no consummation of the deal. There was no 50% that was forwarded. There were technical discussions. There were email discussions. There were discussions between the parties about different other previous orders that had been wrong. There were credits that were reflected on an invoice that the magistrate judge, you know, wasn't quite sure what they all meant.
But the bottom line is the magistrate judge made findings of fact and credibility determinations based on the testimony, and you really don't point to any of his findings to show that it was unsupported by the record. And the bottom line is, don't you want us to just substitute our judgment for his?
No. We're asking this panel to take a critical look at those findings and then take a look effectively at some things like the damages numbers that we're talking about. The findings of fact by the magistrate judge simply weren't supported specifically, I would point to the damages, that there was no requisite specificity to justify the award of damages that were put there. And I understand that the magistrate judge, it is his purview to determine the credibility of the witnesses. But again, turning to an objective analysis of the words and the deeds of the parties, an objective analysis well could conclude that without particular actions on the part of Comfort Keyboard, specifically in regards to payment arrangements, there was no contract. There was no promise to pay. There was no promise to take these goods. It was an ongoing, lengthy discussion about various and assorted things that without a prepayment, simply REMAP should have been leery. And so we're not asking this panel to substitute its own judgment. We're pointing specifically to the damages, the lack of specificity with proving the damages. We're also saying that under contract theory, without a commitment on the part of one side that objectively could be recognized, there were no contracts formed.
Are you contesting the trial court's ultimate finding as to the microprocessor contract?
Is that the 4,100 pieces, Your Honor?
That was the one where
the 100% requirement?
No, the judge said there were no damages.
Yeah, no, because the judge found that my client did order the microprocessors, which I believe numbered 41 and or 4,100, and the judge awarded no damages on those because he felt that plaintiff appellee could sell those.
So you're not contesting that contract?
No.
All right. Then why do you talk about, in your statute of fraud arguments, you reference 402.2012, which is the notice requirement, and I'm wondering why you even discuss that, because the judge didn't apply that statute of frauds exception to the microprocessor contract, only to the contract regarding the boards.
I'm not exactly sure I can answer that. I guess I would say the answer is this. We were contesting the finding of all three contracts, even though one was resolved in our favor. And so when it comes to the microprocessors and the 10-day exception, which I do believe that the magistrate judge applied to that particular contract, if you will, we won that argument to a certain degree in terms of no damages were awarded for that particular contract. However, it was the pattern of construing all of these to be true and valid contracts that we were contesting. Again, Your Honor, we sit here today in hindsight, and Justice Williams asks, you know, is Comfort requesting that you replace your judgment with that of the magistrate judge? Our argument would be no, we are not, simply because the record itself does not support some of the findings in regards to the factual basis for the oral contracts, and then the assessment of damages were proved with a lack of specificity. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Attorney Jordan Rich with the law firm of Konerman & Kalish, Milwaukee, on behalf of the appellee REMAP. I hate to use a very simplistic analogy, but this strikes me as someone arguing with an umpire. And when people see different things, the umpire is called someone safer out, and the situation is you don't like the call. While counsel argues various issues, It is our position what they're really asking this court to do is to substitute your view of the evidence for the magistrate's. I would point out to the court that Magistrate Goodstein sat, listened to the testimony. There are, I believe, 175 pages of testimony. There are, I believe, as I recall, 70 exhibits. He issued a, I believe it's 13-page decision, where from the appellee's position was a very, very significant analysis of the evidence that was presented. He took a look at the issues that were raised by the, at that time, the defendant, and said, look it, based on the evidence I have heard here, the documents and exhibits I looked at, this is how I'm going to call it. And he found that there were contracts. He found that there were exceptions, or that the statute of fraud, there were exceptions which made these valid contracts. And he did a very, very significant analysis as to how to arrive to the damages. Now, I'll be blunt. I don't necessarily agree with the magistrate's basis for his damages, but I can't argue with him that there isn't sufficient evidence in the record to support that. We presented to him both the facts about the history of the relationship between the parties. We presented to him the nature of the goods we were going to supply, and we presented to him a series of figures which we believed supported the damages. He then, as the finder of fact, took that and said, this is how I find the case. He determined that there was a there were binding contracts, and found that, at least from the testimony, that the contracts were enforceable, that they had in fact been breached, and again, somewhat to belabor the point, there were damages. In determining those damages, he took the followed very specifically, we believe, 402.709.1b, and that he found that the circuit boards were manufactured but could not be resold to a different customer, that the processors could be resold and REMAP had not made sufficient effort to resell them, but REMAP was therefore entitled to recover the contract price for the circuit boards but not the processors. He then went somewhat painstakingly, mathematically, and came up with the damages which we're asking this court to affirm. I see nothing in counsel's brief or in their argument that refutes any of the findings of the magistrate. It is the position of the appellee that we're rehashing or trying to have this court put its view rather than the magistrate. So we are asking the court at this point to affirm the judgment as rendered by the magistrate. Thank you.
Ms. Lynch-Sherman, do you have any rebuttal?
Just briefly, I thank opposing counsel for giving us the baseball analogy, if for no other reason than we can talk a little bit about instant replay. In most of our major sporting events, we do have instant replay, and that is the valuable role.
Not in balls and strikes yet.
Not in balls and strikes yet. I'm hoping after tennis that we
it's
may
not
bring.
Not that that hasn't been proposed, but the umpires currently are not of the view that that would be an advance in the game.
An advance for them, that's true. But this court sits as the ultimate instant replay, if you will, from a district court decision. Again, Comfort Keyboard believes that the damages were not proved with requisite specificity to justify, despite all the mathematics, because the mathematics came from a document that could, in fact, not be deemed all that reliable, given the fact that there was no other evidence offered to support it. Further, we believe there were no contracts that were formed, and we again ask this court to reverse and remand.
Could I ask you just one quick yes. question? When did you raise your assumption of risk argument in the trial court?
I
did you ever?
I did not try the case, Your Honor. My review of the record seems that we danced around the issue but did not officially raise that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.